Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we learn the halachas of Siman Kuf Yud Beis, 1 and 12 in the Kitzur Shulch, and that is what items of chametz may or may not be kept over Pesach. The general background is the Torah prohibits the ownership or the consumption of any chametz, and the chametz is one of the strictest prohibitions that exist. The question becomes is how far does this go? We'll explore some general concepts. The Kitzur puts together a few basic concepts together here, but really to understand these properly, really a question needs to be asked in many situations, especially considering the industrial production of food and medicine that we have today, which is much more complex than even a couple hundred years ago. Let's jump straight in. So first basic question is, what happens if I do not have chametz, but I have something which has a small amount of chametz, which was an ingredient in it? So in this case, it is asur, even if the ingredient is way less than 1/60th of the ratio. Chametz on Pesach is asur, is prohibited even b'mashu, which means in the smallest amount, there's no bittul when it comes to chametz. There's no nullification based on ratio. What if something was cooked, chametz was cooked in a dressing, and the chametz was removed, and all that remains is the taste? Again, even the taste is sufficient to make it asur. It needs to be disregarded or destroyed if it's found on Pesach. What if something was cooked in a chametz pot before Pesach? So if it was cooked in a chametz pot and the pot was clean, then that may be kept over Pesach. What happens if it was cooked in a chametz pot on Pesach? Then that item must be destroyed. What if I have grain which got wet and started cracking, so perhaps the fermentation process started? That grain cannot be kept. What happens if the grain was mixed into other grains that were just fine? In that case, one cannot keep the batch. Can I sell that batch of grain? The answer is no. If I'm selling it to a Jew, I need to tell them that this grain had become wet. If I'm selling it to a non-Jew, I need to be careful that this non-Jew is not going to be trading and selling it to another Jew and won't notify him that this grain had become wet and could be in the process of fermenting, and therefore the person will be working with chametz grain. Can I use clothes which are cleaned using wheat starch? This is less of an issue because we usually have a lot of chemical starch used today. In the old days, starch was primarily, the primary ingredient was wheat. And so then in this case, can I wear such a shirt? The answer is yes. The reason is because that chametz has become pas nifsal me'achila. It's no longer edible, and therefore one would be able to use such a shirt. However, my caution should be not to use such a shirt in connection with food, so it should not be put on the table as, let's say, a tablecloth, and no food should be obviously put in it because of the little grains of the wheat water residue which could get mixed in. Now, in the old days, they would also paste paper over windows in the days when they didn't have shades or curtains, and they would use a paste of flour and water as the glue to paste those pieces of paper over the windows. Is that allowed? So 30 days before Pesach, no problem. Within 30 days of Pesach, it's fine, but as long as the paste is not visible, that it's clearly wheat, because in that case, as we call it chametz nukshe, it's marginally possible to eat. In that case, it would be permissible. In the old days, inks were made by cooking various ingredients in beer. That was one of the way to finish up ink. Can that ink be used on Pesach? So again, writing on Chol HaMoed itself is a concern, but let's say there's a reason to be allowed to write. Can I use that ink on a Chol HaMoed? The answer is yes, because that's nifsal me'achila. Not a dog won't even eat or drink that ink, and therefore it's fine. But however, a non-Jew produces such ink on Pesach, a Jew cannot benefit from it directly on Pesach as well. So this is obviously talking about if it was made beforehand. What do I do with kelim, with vessels that I do not kasher, I do not intend to use over Pesach? So they need to be washed well so there's no mamashus, there's no actual chametz left on them, and they should be placed in a closet, in a cabinet, or in a room that is separate and locked, and the key should be hidden, because unfortunately when it comes to habit, it's very easy just to reach into where one is used to and pull out something which one should not and cook in it, and that one has to be very careful as well. All these examples are from a lot of them are from the olden times. What about products today which people are dealing with? What are products that we should be aware of today? So because of the complex industrial production of food today, one cannot just guess what is allowed or not allowed on Pesach, which is why we consult extensive guides and we have incredible national hashgachos which do a huge amount of research and work in order to give us, the consumers, the possibility of knowing what is allowed and what is not. Rabbis should be consulted, experts should be asked, and guides should be looked at in order to understand this. But just one thing that, like as an example, most people are not aware of the fact that most decaf coffee is decaffeinated using a type of alcohol. That alcohol, of course, is chametz, and most decaf coffee should not be used on Pesach, as an example. Just a few common questions that come up, just a appreciation of here, is what about medicine on Pesach? So just the most basic idea, I'm going to go with the OU Psak, or the Psak Rosh Shechta Rebelski, is that non-chewable tablets, capsules, and vitamins, so these are things which one just swallows, are considered nifsal me'achila. It's consumed shaloika derech achila in a way that's not usually edible, and that is fine. No question has to be asked about them. When it comes to liquid medicines, chewable pills or pills which are coated with flavor, those are complicated. The OU's recommendation in such situations is if possible, they should be replaced with another possible non-chewable uncoated pill, and that would be fine. If they cannot be replaced, there's no replacement which is possible. If a person's in a situation of sakana, in danger, or even potential danger in consultation with their doctor, then they may be consumed. If the person is not in a case of any danger, and there's no alternative which is available, then a consultation with the rabbi needs to be made as to research what is in fact in the ingredients of these, and then that psak will be issued in such a situation as well. Obviously, great concern needs to be placed with this. People shouldn't be too lenient or too stringent. Too stringent not to have something when that's really important for their health, and too lenient just thinking that everything is all right. Research needs to be done. What about items that do not require a Pesach Hashgacha? So the OU has an entire list, which is excellent, about things that just don't need Hashgacha. Among them are things like hand sanitizers, insecticides, soaps, skin cream, shaving lotion, polish, containers, perfumes, paper towels, deodorants. All of these things are, even though if you look at an average deodorant, this is denaturalized alcohol in it, we consider that this is something which is nifsal me'achila. It should be noted that there are some lists, Rabessa from has an LA guide which comes out of the Los Angeles Kollel, which comes out every year, which is excellent, which goes through all the different types of deodorants and perfumes which are allowed in makeups as well. The OU's psak is based on the idea that this is nifsal me'achila. Such things are not able to be eaten, much like the starch and the starched shirt, and they are fine. Now, those are machmir and say that's not that you achshave, you use it in a way which shows you give relevance to it, and it could be a problem to get benefit from it as well. Generally speaking, the psak of the OU is things like that are right, do not need to have a hashkacha on them as well. It is worthwhile noting that the exception to this is oral hygiene. So when it comes to toothpaste, mouthwash, flavored lip balm, lipstick, lip balm products, all of those are complicated and should require a hashgacha both year-round and on Pesach. One last thing which people also ask a lot of times is about baby formula. Baby formula often contains kidneys as a primary ingredient, and for a child is considered a cholish and boy sakana. Then in that case, it is allowed if there's a list of the particular ones that are not chametz, but just kidneys, which are allowed for Ashkenazim. But they should be kept in a separate area, and the vessels should be washed separately to the Pesach products, because it is specifically an allowance for children, but only the ones that are on the list, which the list obviously is adapted every year, depending on the production or the changes in production of those products. So just some things to be aware of. There's obviously many, many more halachas, many more specifics, but a general overview, which is very helpful when trying to understand what one can keep, what one cannot keep. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful